This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Monday, June 3rd, and this is after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today. Today we're talking family. We're talking family reunions, we're talking about coming together, we're talking about how come so many people are planning family reunions nowadays. It seems as everybody is seeing having an appreciation of investigating, you know, of celebrating, of maintaining togetherness in their family. Today, I have the descendants of Agnes Johnson. I think it's two names, though.
Agnes and Charles Johnson.
See, correct. I left out the man. He can't leave out the man. Let me enter Charles Johnson. They're from the Berry Island. They're having a big time celebratory weekend, right? That was 3 days?
Four days.
Thursday.
And we have some of the family members here to tell us about this and to tell us a narrative of who is Agnes and who is Charles Johnson. Which family? I know you come from the Berry Islands, right? And why they decided to celebrate. Because I think it's about 50 years now you've been doing this.
40 years.
40 years now?
Reunion.
40 years. And put your mic right to you so I can make sure I hear you clear and come closer to that, right? Because we are about to do his family reunion too for the Hannah Hasty Times. So when we hear other people celebrate, we get excited too. And say, man, talk about it. I want to talk about who the family are, right? I want to talk about why you are celebrating. I want to talk about how did you organize this? How do you pull it off? Because some people don't talk to each other no more. And how is it that you still have the cousins coming together and say, hey, we coming together no matter what, and we'll celebrate. But I want to start off with who's here. I have Miss Ingrid Strawn Farrington. Go ahead. Your mic, you can't hear me? I can hear myself. You can't hear me? Go ahead. No? None yet?
Once you can hear, I can't hear nothing.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear me. And Miss Popa Duncombe is here, right? My auntie, right? She is here. And we want to go into the narrative of who is Agnes and Charles Johnson.
Agnes Johnson was Agnes Smith before she was married to Charles Johnson. Agnes' parents were Levi and Matilda Smith, and they lived on Siston Key in the Berry Islands. They had five children, the Smiths: Agnes Smith, Levi Smith, Christy Smith, Eleanor Smith, and Mary Ann Olivia Smith. Now, Agnes Smith got married to Charles Johnson from Andrews, and they had five children whose names were Charles, Edward, and Mary, Sonny, and Johnny Johnson. Now, through oral history that was handed down to the family, Agnes was born into slavery, and she was able to buy her freedom out of slavery. And as a result of that, she decided that she wanted to moved to Little Harbor because it was bigger than Siston Key. And I attribute her tenacity to growth, because coming out of slavery, she wanted more for her descendants. And she did just that by the manner in which she accumulated her wealth through property, owning property. Now, Agnes, after she bought her freedom, it was handed down once again through all history that she entertained pirates, because remember now, piracy was prominent in the Bahamas around 1690 to 1800s. And she entertained pirates, so she was able to have gold money. And one night she was entertaining the pirates. She heard the pirates saying that they wanted to buy Little Harbor because of where it was geographically located. It is a safe harbor. And the pirates were able to hide because the vessels that they used back then, they say the draft was mm-hmm. able to go on the shallow banks. And so they were able to come into Little Harbor, and she was able to entertain them. And the story goes like this. After she heard them talking about Little Harbor, she decided, look here, I want this for my children, my generations unborn. So she got a gold coin, jumped in a boat in the middle of the night through rough waters, mm-hmm. came to Nassau and purchased Little Harbor and the surrounding keys. So when the pirates came back, because they came into Nassau to buy Little Harbor, they realized, hey, Agnes beat them to the punch. And so they told her, okay, since it's you, it's safe harbor, and you give us access to it, we will let you have it. And so that goes to show this woman and who she was.
You all write this down in the book yet?
Yes, we're writing.
You're writing it right now.
Movie. We're thinking about movie too.
Absolutely, because I wanted to ask you, first off, why did Charles move to where Agnes is from? But that's because he had sense.
Yes.
And then he died early too in life.
I'm still stuck that y'all own a whole island.
Keys.
The whole keys.
The number of keys.
Your family owned 2 or 3, 4 keys?
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
when
we started, we owned 12 keys. Mm-hmm. She bought all the surrounding keys around Little Harbor. And
a black woman did this?
Yes.
Listen, she used to entertain pirates.
Yes.
That's right. She's wise like that.
Yes.
Smart like that.
And so she was able to do that. And if you look at the records through our research, we could see her name is on keys. Her name is there. And she was a smart woman because she wanted her kids to go to school. She started a school on her key on Little Harbor, and she used to bring in people from Grand Bahamian Lutheran to teach her kids. So she was a stickler for education as well. And then not only church. Mm-hmm. She, on her property, 12 acres of her property of Little Harbor, she gave to the Anglican Church for them mm-hmm. to build their church so her children were able to go to church. Mm-hmm. So faith, family, and good, clean fun, because mm-hmm. she was a pirate. I mean, entertained pirates. That was who Agnes Johnson was.
Fascinating story, you know. It's a Bahamian story. Nice. It's a Bahamian story that all Bahamians should know.
Let me tell you something. This morning, when I look at the picture of Abigail Moss, primary school student of the year, mm-hmm. the spirit of Agnes Ferguson came to me because I remember
Agnes
being.
Yeah,
Agnes listen, no, Agnes Ferguson. To read the news.
Yes.
The anchor for the news.
Yeah.
And I thought, look at this. She just Abigail is just a leader. In the same way that Agnes Ferguson mm-hmm. was the anchor of ZNS. Mm-hmm. And now both Abigail mm-hmm. and Agnes Ferguson following in the steps mm-hmm. of Agnes Smith
Johnson. That's right.
And the beauty in it for us as descendants of Agnes and Charles Johnson of mm-hmm. Little Harbor is that both of their bodies are on Little Harbor, their graves, they're buried there.
That's right.
So we know where our roots are.
They're
there. She's there. Her husband is there.
So let's start talking about this reunion. Because I want to now make sure that you're preserving the graves and everything like that, right?
Oh, yes.
And that Erin asked if you start writing the book and the narrative and collecting documents to go and with this book, right?
Yes.
But this is your 40th?
Yes.
40th.
Years of celebrating.
Yes. Right.
Who is maintaining the family trees for your organization?
Well, basically, the initial one was done by our cousin Johnny Tucker. He did it based on information that he would have gathered over the years from family like a cousin Rhoda Lightburn, Johnson Lightburn. And actually it all started when she went to a family reunion. Well, she actually went to a family funeral in the U.S. And the family over there, they asked her, well, do we have family in the Bahamas? She said, man, we got family like the sand on the seashore. And that gave birth to the Agnes and Charles Johnson family reunion group. And the core of the family reunion group over the years has been the lineage of Charlie and James. That's where Ingrid and I are of the descendants. See, and when we look back, we did when we did our 38 mm-hmm. cousin too, but that was before COVID.
Right.
We every 2 years we used to have family reunion either in the U.S. or in the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
And well, since COVID, we didn't have anything just before COVID, we put to have one in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so this will be our next reunion now. And it's going to be a grand one from the 25th to the 28th, right here in Nassau, Bahamas, at Margaritaville. Okay? But we have been intentional with gathering our family information. When we met last time over here, it was at 38. Mm-hmm. We had already began a documentary. We had already began sitting down with all of our family members over the years, and we actually have trifold boards prepared for every family lineage.
So you said something just now, make me ask. So you rotate location for the family
lineage? Yes, we rotate U.S. and the Bahamas.
Now, what about, y'all have a pilgrimage to Little Harbor?
Yes, we are on the process of organizing that, but we do periodical trips.
Periodically, because the Little Harbor is ours. We have a cousin, Bruce, from... And his church, we have a camp every year where we take kids to the campsite and they stay there for a week. So, and then sometimes we go to visit because we had to find the grave and clean up the graveyard and expose it so that if anybody goes to Little Harbor, they can go and visit the grave site. But the vision for us as descendants of Agnes and Charles Johnson is to one day make Little Harbor the greenest little island key in the Bahamas.
A heritage village.
A heritage village. Mm-hmm. And go and do the work that makes us a heritage site because of freed slaves being buried there. Mm-hmm. So, and building a little museum to tell our story.
You're going to have to turn it into a ecotourism site.
Yes.
So it could sustain itself.
Exactly. Yes.
So when is the reunion?
The reunion is going to be from Thursday, the 25th of July.
July 25th.
Yes. To Sunday, the 28th.
To the Sunday, the 28th.
That's correct.
And will there be people from foreign coming down too, or just Nassau?
Oh, no. Yes. They're coming from the U.S. and they're coming from the Bahamas.
As a matter of fact, we have a cousin in Finland, she's trying to come.
So what type of activities do you plan to have during this time?
Well, on that Thursday, we will have the meet and greet at Margaritaville. And then that Friday, we'll have an all-day picnic. Of course, you got to have a beach. Okay, you have to have a picnic. And then on Saturday morning, we'll have a tour of the island, a bus tour of the island for those who want to partake. Saturday evening, we're going to have an all-white
banquet
at the hotel. And then
which
Sunday,
hotel? You just say at the hotel?
Margaritaville.
So Margaritaville will be the center place.
And then we have rooms.
I just really don't know where to crash.
Yes. So that's right there.
And then they're going to be right there. And then Sunday, we'll have a church service.
And a brunch.
That's right. Trade service at B.S. and Anselm's, and then a brunch right there, right.
When I erect my tent on Junkanoo Beach, I can say, listen, I'm from Little Harbor. I sleep on the beach.
Exactly.
That's a good one, Aaron. That's a good one.
And let's talk pricing. Like, if family members are listening now and say, hey, that's my family.
Uh-huh.
And then we know we have a reunion.
Uh-huh.
Who do they contact?
How
much do they got to pay to participate in all these things?
Okay.
The package price. We have a package price of $300 for the weekend. And they could contact any members of the committee. It's Ingrid Farrington, Debbie Smith, the treasurer.
Right.
You have Antoinette, Leslie, Michelle, Michael, Jackie, who's the driver for this family to make sure people know that, hey, what's out there? Your lineage is not doing what they're supposed to do. You need to step up to the plate. Send us who we need in order to make sure that you're included. Because what we intend to do is... pay tribute to those who have gone on before us. So if we call your parent name and your mommy name and you ain't there, that on you.
That's right.
If your mother died because of the children don't want to
remember them. That's right.
It has nothing to do with us.
That's right.
Because we've given them every opportunity to become a part and to be involved. Because we have family meetings, and then we have family
fellowship
once every quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So that keeps us going.
Mm-hmm.
And the...
Where do you meet? You say, is there like a social media page or email or web address? How do you all?
Because I got a text here right now. Says, think they my family. Edward Johnson is my great grandfather.
Wow.
Well, yes.
And who's this person's name, Aaron?
But they didn't give a name. They have a cell
phone number.
Give
your phone number.
Tell them the phone number
if you want to contact any members of the committee. My phone number. I'm the president, 457-0502.
Yes, and I'm Jackie Popel Duncombe, 433-6219. 433-6219. And Aaron and the CA, as Ingrid was talking, and she was talking about remembering, my father's last words would be, family was always important to my parents, both sides of my parents, okay? Because they always said to us, know who you are and whose you are, okay? You just didn't come drop with the sky. No, no. You belong to people. And in belonging to people, you have certain traits, certain attributes, certain values that are important. And one was family. And so the James family, that's my family here, we were used to, on Saturdays, just going down in Camp Road and sitting under the tree. But with her grandmother's house and just eating comforters and fried fish and bread and just hanging out in the yard. And so this is the core of who we are. But my father's last words to me says, daughter, make sure I'm remembered. I said, Daddy, what do you mean by that? He says, daughter, make sure I'm remembered. I said, Daddy, yes, I remember you. My daughter has your face. She has your color. I have your skin. I have your legs. With all that. He said, but daughter, make sure I'm remembered. I says, yes, Daddy, I got the message. Remember me, who I am, my values, my standards, family, God, and country was important to them. And then he says, whenever there is any gathering for your mother or my family, you make sure you're present. And when they ask who you are, you tell them who you are. I am Jackie Popel Duncombe, the last child of Leroy and Louise Ramming Popel. And from Leroy, I have Maud, who's my grandmother, and Maud's father was James. And James' father was Charlie, and Charlie's mother was Agnes.
You know all the narratives.
We can go back to
13 generations. We are teaching our kids.
Oh, yes.
That this is what they need to know, because if kids are not rooted, they become rootless.
That's right.
And in our country, I think we always complain about the government do this and this do that. Mm-hmm. But the family is the first church.
Oh, yeah.
And if the family is not treated with reverence and respect and as a gift from God, then who are we blaming?
That's right.
I want to ask a question about the Facebook page. Do you have a Facebook page?
Yes, yes, we do.
What is the Facebook page so people can say, okay.
Agnes Johnson. Agnes Johnson is our Facebook
page. That's
the name? Yeah.
Yes. Agnes Johnson?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Agnes Johnson.
So do a search, Agnes Johnson.
Yeah, yes, you'll see it. There.
I have a text here that says, can you verify if there is a seaman whose name is Claudius Johnson anywhere on that list of descendants? He was married to Louise Nee Knowles from Long Island.
Okay, that means you got to go and do some research.
Yeah, Claudius is not familiar to me, but I can give you some names of our family based on the family tree.
Well, what stat you have in your hand?
I have here a family tree that was prepared for one of our family units, and it was done actually in 1987 by cousin Johnny Tucker. And it's been years and years of research. Now, if you look at it, it looks very tattered and torn. Hey,
that's when last was it going updated? Around.
It was updated for the last family reunion.
Yeah. And then what we do, we ask every family. Because, you know, you can do so much. Because I personally don't like to see dots and dots and dots.
Yeah. You all have family reunion every year or every 2 years?
Every two years.
Hold on, so y'all been doing this for 80 years?
Yeah.
No, for 40 years.
No, 40 years. Family reunion.
Yeah. Like, when we don't have a family reunion, we get together and we celebrate each other.
Right. Every quarter, we have a potluck on a Sunday. Everybody bring your macaroni, you bring your cheese, you bring your potato salad, you bring the chicken, you bring the rice, you bring the grits.
Somebody bring the tomatoes and the lettuce.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And yes. We have a family potluck. So whoever shows up, we put on the table and everyone just partakes and eats.
Okay. What are family lines?
Okay.
Agnes and Charles have how many children?
So five. Agnes and Charles Johnson, you have Charlie, you have Edward, Sonny, Johnny and Mary, one daughter. Now, from Charlie had Margaret, Charlotte, James, Joe, Nathaniel, John, Joshua, Charles, Thaddeus, Benjamin, Drusilla, and Agnes. It's almost 13 children. Edward had, we have two here, William and Isaiah. Sonny had Charlie, Zoni, and Alice. Johnny had no children, and Mary had two daughters, Martha and Mary. They were twins. From Charlie, that's where cousin Ingrid and I come under James. But under Margaret, their eldest daughter, that's why we have the Kerrs. Margaret was married to Kerr. Okay? So you'd have the Ollie Kerrs and the Alberta Kerrs. And that's why we have Deacon Peter Ramming from the Catholic Church. He comes under that Margaret. Sister Patricia Bazard and Audrey Bazard and Audrey Dean, they come under Margaret lineage. Okay? Cousin Ingrid and I come under James. So under James, we had Hartman, we had Ethel, Olive. Olive is a family that went to the U.S. Yes. Eva, Maud is my lineage, Oral, Edith, Alexandria, Harcourt, and Gladys as Ingrid's grandmother. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then from that, what we did when we did the last family reunion here, we had every family basically prepare their own family tree, like a sub of this. Mm-hmm. And we had them prepared on a trifold board, just simple. Some have gone sophisticated, that's fine, but with the full pictures and all that. But we just wanted to get a name so we could connect the dots.
Do you have a printed version, say, hey, I'm a part of this family. I mm-hmm. want to have my own collection of family trees from the beginning. Are you working on that?
We're working on that. But we'll be fine, too. T.A. And Aaron, it's important that family own who they are. Mm-hmm. We aren't prepared to do the work for you. You do your own work. We come together and we collaborate. But we will show you, because it's important that someone be intentional. Like, I am responsible for Leroy and Louise. Mm-hmm. So I am making sure Leroy, 7 children, everybody lining up.
Call one young person name in your family. Any young person. Just call their name.
But we have Whitney, who just recently passed. Ingrid's daughter, who recently passed. But oh, she took a hold of that. Yeah, she took a hold of that.
Stacy. Oh, yeah, Stacy, Tracy,
Simone, yep. My daughter, Simone.
Stacy, Tracy, and Simone. Look here. You go online right now and you look for a grant for family trees. Oh, yeah. And then we can figure out how the Hannah Hastie Times Family Association and the Agnes and Charles Johnson Family Association could figure out these grants, and we go to the archive.
That's correct.
Open oral history units at UB.
That's correct.
And we're going to work them into the grant so we could have a national project to begin documenting family trees.
And telling the story.
That's important, because guess what, Aaron? What happened? Let me give you a story. What happened to one of our cousins? She retired. She was an educator for the Catholic school. She retired as an educator and administrator. And she relocated to Barry Allen for retirement home. Mm-hmm. And she knew she was a part of Agnes Johnson, but she went there with her own money in her hand to go and purchase property, to go and to build. When she got there on the main line, they told her, say, where are you from? Who your people are? Mm. Either it's Driftwood. Drifter, or you tell us who you're from. Mm-hmm. And she said she got her first impression from everybody there was somewhat of, he's an outsider somewhat. And when she called Agnes Johnson name, it was over.
Respect.
She knows who she is.
Oh, man, that's royalty.
So who living on the island now?
We have a cousin, Chester Darvill, who is there.
He has a restaurant right there. Yeah. Okay. And his brother, Bruce, runs through Evangelist Temple. He runs the summer camp for boys and girls.
So what I'm saying is, like, who can purchase property? Is the only family, is it like generation property where only the family on it?
Yes, but the beauty in it is that Agnes Smart, she left a will.
Oh,
and
yeah.
In her will, it states that the properties are for her generations.
Born and yet and born.
So she left a will. So we don't have to have the headache of, where this is, what this is. Everything was clearly spelled out, and her name is on everything. So anybody who tries anything untowards what the will speaks to, we know exactly what we have.
Anybody running any A&B or tourist venture? Because how I go visit if I ain't Agnes and Charles?
That's what we're trying to move towards right now as a family. And that will come up for discussion at the family reunion on Sunday.
I was talking to the credit union the other day when I came here on the guest, and they have created they call it the head one, like an overarching federation, the credit union in charge of their things.
Awesome.
Some of the theme of in charge.
Exactly.
And the credit union controls all that. Funding. Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. Here's a text. Did Smith Johnson own Ligvita? And are you related to the Gomez's? And how are you related?
Agnes Johnson, from my history, well, I happen to be born on both sides in Barry Island. On daddy's side. Daddy's mother's side is Agnes Johnson. Mm-hmm. Daddy's father's side is the Brennan. That's Josephine and George Brennan of Great Albuquerque. That's where the Gomez and my from.
Family tree as we speak, actually.
You serious? And,
but I've already finished my Gomez family tree, so I have that. But I'm just saying I'm doing a Brennan family tree as we speak. That's
Wait, hold up. You Gomez family?
Yeah, my family, yeah.
For sure?
Gomez, Brennan.
For sure?
Yeah.
You're not playing with me, my cousin?
No, yeah, I have family. Yeah.
For sure? Oh, wow. Yeah, no. So we family then, on George and Josephine.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Great Albuquerque.
Charles is from Andres.
Yes.
Right? I got a text ahead that says some of the Agnes Johnson family is from Long Island. How many islands y'all claiming?
I don't know. See, I don't know.
But I need to give me your phone number again, because a lot of people texting now, realizing that they're family.
Yeah. Yes.
And they want to be a part of it, but they didn't know.
Okay.
Right?
That's fine.
And they want to reach out now and say, hey, you see that family language missing? We're here.
Okay.
You find us now. We're here.
Great. And
give me the number again.
Just showed up and line up.
457-0502. This cousin Ingrid.
And I'm Cousin Jackie Popel Duncombe, 433-6219. 433-6219.
And other than that, you go on Facebook and you search for it again?
We search on there. And like we said, we and when you initially asked us about the family trees, we asking every family that belongs up in here, you show us your family tree. You have to connect from and to. Connect, draw your line, and connect the dots. You have to line up somehow. You can't pretend up in here because everybody can know who you are. Someone gonna be able to confirm who you are in your lineage.
I thought the Smiths from Barry Island related to the Rolls because they have a small family Rolls there in the Barry Island.
Well, go ahead. Well, I mind you, like I said, the base family name is Johnson.
Johnson.
Okay, on Little Harbor. The base family name for Brennan's is Great Harbor Key Barry Island. That's a B-R-E-N-N-E-N, not the B-R-A-Y. Now, I see I can Barry Island from what I see. And I thank God that I happen to be in the mix of the two because some of my family members are on both sides. You understand? But I'm glad that I'm able to. And you know, this all came into even more for me, Aaron and the CA and Cousin Ingrid, when my parents... Well, my parents always told us the importance of family, but I wanted to know how I connect. How I connect. Because you see, when I come to family, I don't want them to tell me, oh, go ask Cousin Aaron, go ask Cousin CA, go ask Cousin Ingrid. No. My parents sent me to school. I learned my lesson. I paid attention. I got the grades. Go and see how you connect. And when daddy died, people came to us from left, right, and center. And I'm like, good, but why didn't I get this information beforehand? But it's important to know. But not only that, our children go to universities. And we've been to universities too. We had to connect family history for grade.
But before we go, I want to remind people about the date.
For the family reunion.
Yes. And then again, your phone number one more time.
That's correct. It's going to be from Thursday, the 25th of July, to Sunday, the 28th of July. It's going to be at Margaret Beale. Will be our base place. Thursday night is the meet and greet. Friday is an all-day picnic. Saturday morning is an island tour. Saturday evening is an all-white banquet. All-white banquet. It's casual affair, semi-casual, whatever. And then Sunday morning is church service at St. Anselm's Church, followed by brunch at Margaret Beale.
And give me the Facebook page so people come
in. And the Facebook page is Agnes Johnson Family Reunion Group. And they can look up my name, Jackie Popel Duncombe or Ingrid Strawn Farrington on Facebook.
And you hear that? That's the family reunion for Agnes and Charles Johnson.
Descendants,
and this is going to be 40 years of being celebrated. Yes.
40 years. Yes. We celebrate every 2 years with the U.S. and the Bahamas back and forth. Back and forth.
Well, look here, my Aunt Rosebud from Great Harbor Key, so now I is a cousin.
Yes, Rosebud. I remember Rosebud. Rosebud, last name was...
McIntosh.
Yeah, I heard.
So
I heard the turn questions up in that mix. I tried to figure out how the connection was.
We'll take a break right now and do another segment. Again, thank you for joining Guardian Radio AM. We will be right back.
Thank you so much. Yes. God bless.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas and everybody go on come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday. Stay in the Nassau Guardian.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece.
the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I am excited, right, because we have a writer in the studio, actually a historian. If you see him on Facebook, I mean, he writes copiously and detail about almost everything. Like, sometimes you wonder if what does he not know? But he's actually from Bohemian royalty in terms of family lineage, right? And I'm excited because he is a descendant of Henry Milton Taylor. I think I have Henry Milton Taylor book when he wrote about Acklands. And I say, how does man write about Acklands and how he get there? But apparently he's one of the school teachers that went there from Long Island. Mm-hmm. But actually his grandson is in studio today. I'm going to have him formally introduce himself and to tell us exactly what is happening. Why is he here, right? What is this memoir book that he is promoting, right? I actually think it's a series of books that he's promoting. But I want to know more detail with that. And formally introduce yourself to my listening audience. Go ahead.
Yes, I'm the grandson of Sir Henry Taylor. And growing up, I saw him from time to time, and but didn't live with him. And stayed at Government House a couple times when he was away with, when Lady Eula went away. And basically, Sir Henry founded the PLP and went all to the out islands and spreading the message of, I guess, self-sufficiency in politics. And then he joined the UBP, that was kind of the other side, falling out. And then he went out of politics, and then he was chief editor of the Hansard, and then later was given the governor generalship. And the recent annual memorial service for Sir Henry Milton Taylor, who's the parliamentarian in charge of it? Well, they said, without H.M. Taylor, there could be no majority rule of Black Tuesday, because H.M. Taylor established the foundation which the fathers of our nation built the House of Freedom. And then Alfred Sears, the parliamentarian, told me, we're all standing on his shoulders. So growing up, I didn't know, you know, how important he was and so forth there, and just maybe knew he was in politics. So this was a gradual thing. And he had published two books, My Political Memoirs and My Religious Memoirs. And he put them in the bookstores, but they didn't sell very well. But he would, I saw in, when someone visited the government house, he would, in leaving, he would give them a copy. And, but over time, I discovered that he had written unpublished works. Thousands of writings, thousands of pages of unpublished material. And the daughters, his daughters, kind of decided to give that to the archives. One daughter, who was a professor at St. Olaf College in Minnesota, she basically decided she was going to publish them, but publish a couple, but didn't get around to it, and so forth, and she passed away. And so slowly but surely, I realized what was there and started reading these manuscripts, and I scanned them. Okay. And only recently, just the past few weeks, they all went to the archives, the originals. And so I have the scanned copies. And I thought of, well, might as well, start publishing them, because they're well written, and they're really about the Bahamas. He wrote all about the Bahamas. In my educational memoirs just published, he talks about how he was a precocious child. He had this extraordinary memory. He could calculate at 7 years old three number of figures in his head, and I didn't know any of this. I thought he was grandfather normal and so forth. And so he was in a way talented in that arena. And I recall though that in the 1980s he went to Parliament. They asked him to speak at Parliament, and he forgot his speech. And he had to, recall it from the top of his head. And he, I guess, achieved that. And if you think about it, he didn't know he would lose his speech. That was just in his head or something like that.
What were some of the themes that, come up in the writings that you have found?
Yeah, it's best if I, this is a short thing, 3 minutes. He wrote a general introduction to the series. Okay, so this is him speaking. The year is now 1986. We are in the last quarter of the 20th century, a century that has produced so many important and drastic changes affecting every phase of life for the inhabitants of this globe, more so than at any other era in modern history. Although these changes have been so dramatic and in some cases happening so fast, it appears that they very gradually made the changes so smoothly that the victims of change accepted them, welcomed them, and received them as if they were expected and inevitable. These books are written from personal experiences by the author and from memory. In talking with the members of the younger generation, one can easily determine that they know nothing or very little of the kind and or quality of life experienced by their forefathers. They know nothing of the hardships of the early part of the century, and it is the intention of the author to write of these experiences so that they will be able to appreciate the quality of life they are now enjoying because of their newly acquired affluency. Life has changed for everyone. The girl of 1900, the boy of 1910, the grown person of 1910 saw life so far different from the individual of 1980 that it is fantastic. Will the author be able to convince his readers of the truths of his story remains to be seen. Will the reader be able to fully grasp the knowledge of the conditions under which the people lived in the first quarter of the 20th century? The author is writing on conditions that were prevalent between 1900 and 1925, generally in the outer islands of the Bahamas, but specifically in Clarencetown, Long Island, where he was born and where he spent the first 21 years of his life. The experiences enumerated here are real and true, and allow the readers to compare those times with his experiences today. The tales and stories the author relates in this series are true. They're, for the most part, humorous and informative. The lingo expressed is broken English, exactly as the language used in that area. And it goes on.
So two quick things.
Yeah.
I bet he knows why they couldn't find Jerry Roker in town. Second thing, your grandfather was a revolutionary. Some of the first lines that you spoke when he spoke about changes seemingly made so smoothly that the victims don't even realize, right? They're being victimized. That's the type of talk young people talk in today in 2024. I mean, he was a man well beyond, I guess, his years. He fought, or what he observed is so authentic, right? Mm-hmm. That even now it exists, and it existed then.
Well, he lived in. This is about the first part of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that strikes you is that they were not awake to the political realm. Of what politics could do for them, and so forth. So this was just a little after slavery. Mm-hmm. And they were not, so to speak, woke and so forth, and that mm-hmm. would come later.
Something is being published just recently. You said my educational memoirs just published.
Right, right.
Who published that? Because this is not amongst Henry Taylor's original two books. This is new to me.
Right, right.
So my educational memoirs is about what exactly, and where can I purchase that? And when did you publish that?
I thought of going to publishers, but I realized that there's so much stuff in here and so forth, and so much to do. Maybe the self-publishing is better,
mm-hmm.
and so I did a self-publishing thing with Amazon, and this week I'm coming out with the next book of Bush medicine, his medical memoirs, food in that time,
and all this is Henry Taylor
in one book. Yeah.
Okay.
So and, his educational memoirs, is this about him, the teacher, Taylor the teacher, or Taylor the scholar? Or is it a combination of both?
His experience teaching and being educated in Long Island and then teaching in Acklands Island. And basically he has, it's a parade of names of people, you know, that lived back then. People may recognize their relatives. He spoke of being kicked out of school because he was too smart, and he spoke of almost becoming going to law school, but they didn't have the money. So Henry never had money, and even died without a will. He spoke of meeting someone who was. Whose family was in piracy, and he had a treasure map, and he was looking for the buried treasure. I don't want to give it away, but so there's like a treasure map story in there.
I've noticed that Henry Taylor books, mm-hmm. the ones that I came across, my political memoirs, I sure I have that home, right? Mm-hmm. That's where he mentioned Acklands, and I had to take an excerpt that there to put it inside an Acklands book, right? It's a history book. That gives a narrative of an early time in the 20th century,
right,
and
right.
also gives race relations about what was happening in terms of the temperature of the Bahamas.
In Acklands, there was something with prejudice among the students that he had to deal with, and he dealt with it successfully. It doesn't say who was. He's almost colorblind. You don't know who's what color and so forth here, but I saw a couple pictures and they were the spectrum, and basically, you know, anything about the Bahamas seems to be in his books, and I haven't read everything. He has the occupational memoirs. I haven't looked at it yet, you know, so it's like 3,000 pages, mm-hmm. And I've just begun. You know, going through it. Some of my family thought he was not a good writer, but the people I spoke to said he was a good writer. Yeah, fairly good. Yeah.
In terms of his political memoirs, his writings, did he write about the formation of the PLP, in its infancy? And is that work in one or multiple collection of pieces that you're producing?
I think pretty much all of it is in my political memoirs, and that is out of print. We don't have the outside of the family doesn't have the copyright for that, but I'm investigating and so forth. And but he does have. I did see a couple things on a PLP visit, a long account of it. A PLP visit. Mm-hmm. I haven't read it yet, though.
But why did you decide to say, man, I'm going to go and research my grandfather's old works and say I'm going to publish stuff? Why did you decide?
No one else was doing it kind of thing. There's not many people. There's just brother and me kind of thing in the immediate family now. And the rest have passed away. And so no one was really doing it. So what I saw is this belongs to the Bahamian people. He did all of this for the Bahamian people, you know. And all of these writings. And so they belong to the Bahamian people kind of thing. And so they had to be, first of all, be preserved, and then part of that for people to know is to be published, kind of thing. So I can't charge too much for the books. You know, the print book is $8.99 on.
$10? Less than $10 for the print. The one you're working on now.
Ebook is $2.99.
My educational memoirs. How much is that book going to cost?
Yeah, that's published. That's on Amazon. You go to just Henry Taylor Educational Memoirs. Okay, that's $2.99 for the ebook, and $8.99 for
the printed copy.
Yeah, I just saw a couple days ago. He wanted the dialect, how Bahamian spoke with that, and I didn't put that. So I might do another version that puts how Bahamian spoke. And he has many pages on how Bahamians spoke and what they said and so forth in that time.
Henry Taylor seems to be like a prolific writer. Like he just writes nonstop.
It is his memory.
They didn't even have Z&S. Mr. Nuri, they didn't have Z&S. It's a whole different time. And I think we have lots of older generations of Bahamians, you know, who wrote, and we may have lost a lot of work. It's great that you're preserving what you can.
He was always telling stories, and I remember he was in a barber shop, and he started telling a story, and the barber said, "Oh, there's Henry Taylor talking about one of his stories again." And so he liked the stories, and he remembered stuff.
I want to talk Long Island, because Henry Taylor is a paramount, like a juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
When you mention the name for Long Island, right?
Right.
And I'm not sure if he's from Burnt Ground, is he?
Clarencetown.
Okay, the capital there. And in terms of the establishment of Long Island, the terms of the social construct of Long Island, the terms of why Long Island is just different, where everyone gets along, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in contrast to a New Providence where there's people live separately and apart, right? Long Island seems to be a community, right? Did he go in detail on explaining how that happened?
Yeah, most of his writings, when he writes about stuff, is Long Island. So when he writes about Bush medicine, he speaks about, you know, what he knows of Long Island. But he's researched other things as well and spoke to people and so forth to put together Bush medicine and so forth. And he knew Sarah Carr, who was an adult at the time of slavery. And she was a friend of the family. And she was a great figure he hopes will never be forgotten in Long Island. And she had the wisdom of the, of what came from Africa. And so Long Island, there's a whole book that my aunt wanted to publish that called Clarencetown Tales, a bunch of short stories, just about Clarencetown and what happened there in the early part of the
century. Does any of his writing reflect on the early establishment of Long Island, the initial settlers, the politics of that time?
The loyalist narrative. Yeah.
Yes, I haven't read everything, first of all, but from what I saw, he goes into, you know, that could just be a sentence or two in a book, you know, but he was dealing with the time that was there, so he had researched history, the loyalists, and whatever, and
of everything that you've read so far, what do you think was his favorite sort of subject, his favorite focus? What excited him?
Well, the series, the name of the series I gave to the books was Islands in My Heart, the writings of a 20th century politician in the Bahamas. And so it was anything dealing with the Bahamas, really. And so he was a sort of a servant of the people, a politician meant to serve the people, a politician at heart.
In terms of relevancy and especially talking from the family point of view, and we know, because Aaron and I do study history, right, the importance of a Henry Taylor. Does it seem to you that Bahamian people are forgetting his significance, or that there needs to be more focus on who he was, who he is, and his legacy?
Well, people I've talked to, like, they say, a couple of people said that one day he'll be given his due or something like that. At the Jubilee Honors, I guess he was in the top 10, the third after, I think he was, there was Pendling, then Butler, and then Sir Henry. And I think he wasn't a founding father, but he, from what I understand, he gave, put the foundations into effect by going through all the out islands and so forth and meeting people, and he was sort of a friend of the people. I don't know, maybe he's the grandfather of the nation.
Because he came at a time before Ceylon did, right? That era of politics in the Bahamas, before that majority rule, before that Young Turk of black Bahamians. He came a little before that.
Or if I could rephrase it, I think it's important, the work that you're doing, because it's important that we don't allow politicians to determine which narratives, which voices, which stories are the most important. Particularly with this individual, this story, this voice, the most expedient political narrative may render him invisible, right? But I ain't even your cousin yet, but I felt offended when you said that he's not the founding father. How could they have been founding fathers without the work that he did? Right? So I think, I'm just saying, I think it's important to encourage others to also take a step to preserve family, to preserve stories, to preserve legacy, separate from a political narrative. Because a political narrative won't allow the entire story to come to the surface.
Right. I don't see anything in these unpublished writings that are really that politically charged. Mm-hmm. When he was a politician, I mean, you know, you make political enemies and so on and so forth. And I think these unpublished writings are very different in that regard. But they're still, for the people that just before we got into affluency, how it was, the harshness of the times, because I think the Bahamas was especially stark and didn't have what it was supposed to have at that time, more so than other places in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just to sort of close it off, I think Milton Taylor's story becomes problematic to a PLP that touts itself as the savior of poor black people. Because we don't presume Milton Taylor from Long Island to be a poor black person, given the definition of poor and black, the contemporary definition of those things. Milton Taylor's story has to be one of the most important stories in the country. Not just for ordinary citizens, but for politicians and for people who seek to sit in the Senate. To be able to understand, to sit in the Senate, you must understand how the country has been built. And what I appreciate about your critique of his work is that it is important to politics, not because it's about politics, but it's because it is about all of the other things that build politics. The islands, the people, how they actually live. That is what the part of his work that should be informing politics.
He was close to the people. I remember he we took a ride before he was governor general, and he would pass. I don't remember where it was, but a poorer place in the Bahamas, and he waved at someone at a square, a young man. Mm-hmm. And said, how does he know the young man of, you know, and so forth there? And I guess he was close to the people, and he was himself poor
as well
in a certain way.
How can we contact you, and how can we find these works when once they're published and as they're published?
TurquoisePublishing.com and Amazon.com. All the books are going on.
Can we contact you for your social media?
Yeah.
Your name again, Juan
Taylor.
Juan Taylor. Taylor social media. And just in case you want to get a copy of this book, again, it's my educational memoir by Henry Milton Taylor. Again, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. We'll see you again tomorrow.
Absolutely. Turquoise Publishing for Milton Taylor's work.
Thank you very much.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.